We are back, ladies and gentlemen, to Sports with Carney featuring Dakota Lamb with special guest Spencer Witt. Starting just a little bit late, only 53 minutes.
Nah.
Technical difficulties, should we say?
Yeah.
No.
The fire was pretty big. We had put out a pretty big fire.
We fought it just like in the olden days with our bare fists.
Bucket by bucket from the water fountain.
Not as big of a fire as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey!
That's right. Pittsburgh Steelers are a dumpster fire right now. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. Penguins.
MLB rule changes. MLB we'll be heated changes. Up about that.
We're going to do our Survivor poll. We got to get into that.
We may have to push that off one more week. We'll see. The premiere is not till next Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
I think
we'll
got to do that.
We do.
We'll see how much time we have.
We might or may not do that depending on how much time. Unfortunately, I kept them waiting, so we will have to cut a couple minutes short.
But first, we have a very special start to the show.
That's true. We do have a very special start to the show. Who's in the studio with us? Is that Malik Johnson?
Malik?
I'm here. I've brought questions.
Wait till you hear the theme.
The theme. Major League Soccer.
Oh, God.
That was the exact reaction now, that Dakota and I both had.
And then he proceeded to tell me that there is a question about the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
They're not Major League
so
Soccer.
So the theme is more U.S. soccer.
So, yeah, we're kind of going to get a little broader. But that's okay.
That's
it's still
okay.
Soccer.
Yeah,
soccer.
You guys might beat me
this
one.
Little disclaimer.
This might be the first time
I've already
lose.
Told Spencer this, but as I was sitting at my desk at work today, I thought, has Logan really won 9 quiz shows? So I went back through all the old documents, performed an audit, and he has, in fact, won 9 quiz shows.
Wow. That is pure jealousy right there. I feel like Tom Brady accusing me of cheating. I may have deflated some of the answers, but all right. Hold on, I get to pick the order because I won the picks?
Right, yes. Right. So before we start the quiz show...
Of course I won.
AAF picks from week 1. Logan got 3 of his 4 correct. I got 2 of the 4. Spencer got 1 of the 4.
Woo.
So you get to pick which question you want.
I will take the first question. Wow. I will give Dakota the second question.
Yeah,
I'll give Spencer the third.
Go in order of the picks. Fine, yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Well, it's going to go order regardless.
Well, yeah, but I meant like order of the picking... how we finished.
Yeah.
First.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
All right.
Wow, that was random.
First question. The Philadelphia Union played their first 2 home games at what stadium?
Wow.
The look.
Lincoln Financial Field.
Yes.
No way.
What?
What is happening?
Wait, do you have the year for that or anything like that? Or is it just...
They started, I think, 2010.
I thought they were older than
this
that.
This is ridiculous.
I thought they were way older
that's
than that.
That's good. You know that is the game-winning
oh
point.
Oh,
right
absolutely. That's it. It's over.
I hate this game.
All right.
Already. Go ahead.
Okay, question 2. The DC United shared a field with what team before 2008?
The Washington Redskins.
False.
Am I up right?
Yeah.
The Washington Nationals.
That's true.
They shared it.
Well, I mean, they only had a 50-50 chance.
I mean, sure. I think they shared RFK Stadium with them, too, back in the day.
Would you believe that I knew that one?
Yeah, I'd believe that. Yeah. I actually was just looking up RFK Stadium for no reason at all, honestly. I was like, oh, I wonder.
I'm very impressed. Two
correct answers.
He was looking it up, cheating. Yeah.
He's all right, well,
cheating
I'm up
over there.
All right.
Asterisk.
I got that steal, though, so that was big. That's big steal.
It's an asterisk.
Big steal. Spencer, number 2. Which MLS team was the first team to win both the U.S. Open Cup as well as the MLS Cup?
Oh.
It's called a double.
Yes. Thanks.
Malik enlightening us with MLS.
Honestly, I didn't know that. Okay, so the USL Cup is like the FA Cup of U.S.
I believe I know this.
I'm going to go LA Galaxy.
False.
Oh, that was going to be my guess.
Chicago Fire.
False.
Hold on. It's okay. Well, I would be my steal, first of all.
Isn't it a
fire? Aren't even a team anymore.
Oh, it's just fire and after. One. I didn't realize we switched it. I'm trying to think. Seattle.
False.
That was a good guess.
That's a good guess.
That was a really good guess. The Sounders. Right.
The answer. Are we going to do it? Everybody gets one chance of the steal.
We just did.
No,
yeah.
Sure, all
right.
Yeah.
Cool. The answer, DC United.
Oh,
I was thinking DC. Yeah. Dang it. I was thinking them.
They actually knocked out the Riverhounds a couple years back in that U.S. Cup.
That makes me angry. I was thinking DC United.
All right, round two.
That makes me so angry.
Round two. Logan again. Which U.S. city was the first to open an MLS-only stadium?
Oh, that's a good question.
These are really good. Considering we know nothing about the MLS.
Los Angeles.
False.
We know it's not Philadelphia or D.C.
We were talking about a team before the show. And
honestly, I'd go with that.
Oh, I'm going to say it. Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. That,
would have been, it was either that or Salt Lake.
I forgot the steel rolls. You could have just taken that right away from me.
Oh, I could do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd go next.
I think it's a free for all. Steel.
We don't even know our own rules.
It's a three-way tie.
We don't even know our own rules. This is awful.
The highest score in quiz show history.
All right, Dakota number five. Which year
for the lead
was the highest scoring All-Star game? The score where they scored 13 total points.
Oh my goodness.
And it's goals, not points, by the way.
Goals.
I feel confident in speaking for all three of us that this is a complete shot in the dark guess. So I'm just going to say 2010.
False.
Yeah, shot in the dark, 2013.
False.
Here's the real question. Does this, because the MLS went away for a couple of years.
No, it did.
Like, yeah, in like the 90s.
It disbanded. That doesn't count.
So is it before the 90s?
It's after the 90s.
Okay. 2000 and... I feel like it's later. I feel like it's more recent. 2016.
False. The answer, 2000.
Oh.
Oh, I should have just shut my trapper.
I thought you were going to get it.
I should have just shut my trapper.
All right.
Question number six. Three-way tie right now.
It's going to come down to whatever horrible list question this is.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Union.
This is your question.
Yes.
The Philadelphia Union took this many years to make the MLS playoffs.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us, Spencer, what year were the Union incorporated?
I swear the Union are older. I swear they're one of the original teams. I don't know. I shot in the dark. 8 years.
False.
All trick right. question, zero.
False.
Oh.
That was a good year. I mean,
I thought
11,
that's what I thought.
11 years.
False. Wait, 11 years? They've only been around since 2010.
I didn't know that. we didn't know that.
I swear they're older than 2010, but maybe I'm wrong.
Spencer asked that earlier.
I thought they moved into that.
I
asked if they moved into the... Well, that's true, yeah.
They
could have been...
2 years.
Wow.
They could have moved from, like, the USL over to
MLS.
That's
true. I didn't... Yeah, that's true.
Three-way tie into the list question.
This is insane.
First time in quiz show history.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like this.
Who was first for the list question?
It would be Logan, yes.
All right.
Now, wait, can we do the rules for the list question first? So just going back and forth, all the way around.
For every correct
answer. 1 point for
every correct answer. There are four correct answers.
Okay.
Oh, so whoever gets two.
Basically.
Right.
Name as many different places the Riverhounds have played before Highmark Stadium was opened.
Oh, my goodness.
Great question.
I know they played at a high school, but I can't think of the
I think I know it.
Before
I'm laying the pressure on you, I know the answer.
I know one.
I know two.
Yes, I know two.
Did they play at Joel? No, they wouldn't have. I know one's a high school, but I don't know what high school.
Oh, I actually don't know which high school it is. It's a coin toss, and
yeah,
I'm going to
guess. I don't know what high school. Probably wasn't the Wolf Arena. It had to have been one of those, like, one.
We're going to go with the time here real quick because we're running low on time. So, got like 20 seconds.
Oh, I forgot about the shot clock.
Yeah, like 20
seconds.
You're fine.
I'm just going to say, I'm going to say they probably played at a college, but I don't know where. I'm going to say, what's the field at Duquesne called? That's probably, whatever. Joe Walton.
False.
Chartres Valley High School.
That's correct.
There's one of them.
That's what it was.
Oh, boy. Okay. Did they play at Washington Wild Things Park?
They did.
Yes.
Soul Energy Park.
I knew it.
I'm actually going to lose. This is a new feeling for me.
Not yet.
Are we counting? Is this like... No, it's not my turn. I'm sorry.
Wait, well, no,
Logan's out.
Question,
Logan's out. You're right.
Mike, No, I'm not. I'm not gonna ask.
He doesn't want. He, yeah, he doesn't want to give you any ideas.
I don't know. Is there another high school?
Yes. Both of the answers are high schools.
Dang, these clarifications.
There's two more high schools left. Oh, yes. My gosh. What high school?
I think that's the answers. Yes, that's what you're looking for. What high school?
Moon High School.
Correct.
Look at that.
Wow. Oh.
They played there for 1 year.
I knew they
played. I had no idea.
See, I knew they played up here. That's why I said Joe Walton.
I didn't know that at all.
I thought they played up here.
1 year. Moon. I think it was 2000. It's recent, actually. I think it was the place they played before.
When they were building Highmark.
Yeah, when they
were
building
Highmark. They played at Shore Valley for a
long
time.
They started in the Washington Wild Things Park, the early 2000s, I think.
They've been around since the 90s.
No,
well, yes, 99 is when they started.
No, there's a place before Washington Park.
I really don't think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know where, though. I should know this. I covered the team last year.
Yeah, I mean, you really...
I can be completely honest. In my game recaps, I never brought up the four former stadiums that the Hounds played.
That's fair.
is the answer a school like blank stadium, and the blank is a school district name?
We're basically looking for the school.
The school district.
Honestly,
yes.
We're just looking for the school.
Right. Because what I was going to say is there's that stadium that the City League uses in Pittsburgh, Couples Stadium. That was going to be my guess, but I'm not going to guess that now.
Wolverina.
It's not the Wolverina.
Who wants to play at the Wolverina? Let's be honest.
Central Catholic played there this year.
I genuinely think there's some bigger high schools that the Riverhounds would not have been able to afford to rent.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I don't...
when they're just starting out, like, I don't think they could rent out NA. For some reason, I was thinking NA.
That's true.
I don't think that they would be able to get that. For some reason, I was thinking NA.
I don't know.
But I don't think it's
NA.
Yeah,
like 15 seconds. Because I'm just going to throw out a school, too.
Peters Township.
False.
Good guess, though. I'm going to go Seneca Valley.
False.
Dang.
All right, lightning round.
All right, whatever. North Allegheny.
False.
Pine Richland.
False.
Oh, good guess. Norwin.
False.
I'm just gonna say this to see if it's right because it'll make Dakota
mad. I'll be
mad.
So mad.
West
if it's right.
False.
Oh.
South Fayette.
False.
Good guess.
Plumborough.
Keystone Oaks.
False.
We all can clarify.
Mars.
Not
false.
It's not anywhere we lived. We all know that.
False.
We would know if it was somewhere where we lived.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have known.
I'm trying to think of big schools now. Mount Lebanon.
False.
Good guess.
We're all tied, too.
I know. Yeah. This is the game. This is the game.
The tension is palpable.
Whoever gets this wins.
Couples Stadium.
False.
Figured I'd try it.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. Yeah, it was a good consideration.
I'm going to say it because you were erupt. Woodland Hills.
False.
Aww. The poor Wolverina.
I'm trying to think of a score right now. I'm really struggling for a score.
Wolverina overrated.
Yeah, it's old. It's nice. It's big. It's pretty overrated.
Oh my goodness, I can't think of a school. Upper St. Clair.
False.
Good guess.
Seneca Valley.
I said that already.
Oh, can I get a different guess?
Yeah, no.
Yes.
If you get this, I'm gonna be so angry. It's gonna be an asterisk.
Asterisk.
Steel Valley.
False.
Good guess.
Montour.
False.
That little pause, you scared me.
Keystone X.
That was already guessed.
Yeah,
already
said. Okay, then I go again. Penn Trafford.
False.
Pine Richland.
Already guessed.
Penn Hills.
False.
Already guessed.
It knew it probably wasn't Penn Hills, but
I think we're starting to get down to the lower high schools.
What was the first year of this team? It had to have been a lower high school.
Aliquippa.
False.
Bethel Park.
There it is.
Yes!
You can't get it!
Yes! No!
No!
The Blackhawks!
The original home of the Riverhounds.
I
hate Bethel Park High School.
I just want to say, as a Baldwin alma mater, I hate Bethel Park so much, but today I love the Blackhawks with a passion.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and there's no asterisk.
Great questions.
Great questions. Great questions. Incredible questions.
Wow. Wow. So I was wrong. It was not a smaller school.
No, yeah. I mean, I didn't think they played
it. What a game.
They don't have like a great stadium. So, I mean, I guess I kind of understand it.
Fun fact, when John Kowalski was head coach of the Riverhounds, that's where they played.
Yep.
Great fun fact. For the first time, Spencer gets to celebrate.
I don't know. Am I supposed to do something for this? I've never done this before. This isn't a normal thing.
You get to take whatever you want. You can say whatever you want.
Incredible. First off, I'm glad that the questions were based off of something that Logan Carney has followed a lot over the past year, or at least the game-winning question. And both Logan and I, we were erupting in joy when we heard the final question because we at least knew one of the answers. But I respect him getting the moon question right, though. I do respect that. And I'm coming for those playoffs. It's only one win, but right now I'm coming for those playoffs.
Updated standings, 9-3-1. You ended my winning streak of what? 7?
I've
7 in a row, Dakota?
Since I've been on here, you've won. I've never been here where look up.
I don't know. I don't keep track of this.
Because I thought you were up 2-1 at one
technically,
point.
Technically, I got a win last week with the prop bets that ended your streak. But
that's
if we're
not
talking
a quiz show,
quiz
though.
Show exclusive,
we've been
no,
seven,
I won,
seven, right?
I won, I believe, 2 weeks in a row leading up to the Festivus show, and that was my opportunity to really get
to
going
tie it back.
Into the new year. And
so
it
this is
happen.
So it's five. Is that ended a winning streak of 5?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so plus. We are still playing though for the to
basically,
get into
yes.
this championship.
So I mean,
not,
like,
I'm not sure that your lead can be taken over, but
so I'm happy that. We finally stopped Logan, but Dakota, you're going down now. So
probably not a lengthy losing streak.
Oh, no, don't worry about it.
Thank you, Malik.
Thank you, Malik.
You're welcome. I'll be back next week.
And now we've got some breaking news leading out of the quiz show.
Wow. What is this?
What is going on with Antonio Brown?
Yep. This week on Days of Our Steelers. Antonio Brown demanding a trade officially from the Steelers. The same day when he was found guilty for speeding.
Because he didn't show up. The best line of that KDKA article about it is the last sentence. It goes, his lawyer plans on appealing. They have video of him going 150
is
down
that
the
115
parkway.
McKnight Road.
Yes.
First off,
nothing
has any of you been on
McKnight
Road? Have any of you been on McKnight Road? I didn't think it was possible to go 115 miles an hour on McKnight Road.
AB did it.
He did it. I don't know how.
But is it a fast? Was it a fast 150?
What is that?
115. I mean, I think 115 miles an hour is 115 miles an hour, regardless of the distance or
now. I will
you
say,
go.
I don't like the way he's handled any of this.
Oh, I hate
course.
It.
But. A true power move to just tweet out the goodbye video when he is still on the team.
Yeah.
And there are no indications that any other team is going to be willing to take him on. So what is the play here? If he does not get traded, does he just sit out next season? Is the move?
He's already signed his contract, getting paid. There's no way he'll sit out. That guy? Because he'll have to sit out for 2 years. It's not like Bell, who only had to sit out for one.
Is there a point?
He would have to retire. He won't retire. do you think, so basically it's between, do you think that Antonio Brown will retire if he doesn't get traded? No. He won't.
I think it's more likely that there's
too much
of
an ego.
One of the lawsuits pans out. I'd say that's probably number one on the list. That something, one of these lawsuits, I think the one in Miami where he threw the piano out the window or something is still pending. So that could come back to get him.
And
then there's another one.
He's suing for his kid.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. Nothing's going to come out of the 115, but eventually he's got enough legal action pending against him that one of that might be his downfall.
Or that could want him to play more because he's going to have to pay off all that money.
I don't know what you do if you're the Steelers. It's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, I mean.
You have to trade him at this point.
Days,
I don't think you can bring him back.
The days of our Steelers.
Money?
You have to. Some point
I disagree.
You got to.
I don't think you have.
Here's the thing that bothers me. I don't understand it. Like, I get why Le'Veon Bell sat out. He wanted more guaranteed money, regardless of what you think he deserves
right.
it or not. He wanted more guaranteed money, and he said, I feel like I should get more money. And the Steelers are like, we're giving you the highest contract ever. But he said, but it's not guaranteed. They went back and forth. He said, fine, I'll sit out. Antonio Brown, I just don't understand what he wants. I don't understand this. Like, he's the most targeted wide receiver on that team this year to a team that, you know, you argue probably throws the ball a lot more often than several teams. Probably top, what, 5, 10? Ben Roethlisberger, the most passing yards in the league this year, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to think that they're obviously passing the ball a lot. And it's just, I get it. It's the ego. And it's sad to the point that he's becoming a TO, but it's kind of crazy how this is what TO would be like if we had Twitter back then and if we had social media. And I just don't think it's going to work out for him as well.
I think probably because of the Le'Veon Bell situation,
yes,
he's banking on his value still being high. But AB got the money. I don't think he really – like, who cares what the contract
season? So when the Steelers extended Brown and not Bell, do you think that they made the right decision? Looking back,
yes,
now?
Yes, I do. And I think the mistake was in how they allocate the money because of the salary cap, which the Steelers certainly deserve some blame for the way they held it all into a bonus and gave it to him ahead of time. But you have to as an NFL team. Like, there was a lot of anger driving into the studio today on Mark Madden about how they how they handled the money, giving it to Brown. Now they're in the situation where they dump him, they still paid him. But I don't think you can fault him for that, really. You have to game the system when the NFL has the salary cap that it does, right?
I agree, too. You have to.
No one could have foreseen how bad the AB situation got.
No, I don't think anybody could have foreseen, although the super genius over there. And I do like him, but he definitely foresaw it.
Oh, gosh.
But no, in all honesty, you couldn't have foreseen how bad both situations
Right.
And
it looks
worse
because
the whole year
we
kept saying Bell would come back, and it kept acting like Bell would come back. The two common thing with both of them is neither one, you know, has talked to management throughout their entire processes. Neither one has any respect for the team, the ownership, or the coaches, clearly. I don't think you can bring them back. I don't think you can put them back in that into that locker room and have it not be dysfunctional.
Well, here's why I disagree with you. The Steelers players are still to this day going to bat for
AB. That's great. That's great about the players, but Tomlin's not.
He
hasn't returned Tomlin's. He hasn't returned Tomlin's phone call.
Tomlin has had control of that locker room
for
years.
But a big reason for that is the guys like Bell and Brown. You need to get rid of
them. I agree, it's a big reason, but I don't think that culture changes in one season.
I think if you get rid of those two, that is a huge culture change.
Are you willing to go as far as to say their Super Bowl chances next season are better if Brown is not there?
Culture and chances of the question, I think the question you have to ask.
I agree.
The question I think you have to ask is, do you sacrifice the fact that you have no control over this team and that it's literally a soap opera in the sense that you can get yourself 10 wins?
Do you have no control over the team, or do you have no control over two players that are just so bad? Oh yeah,
do you think that those two players have an effect on the team? Because I do. I sure as heck do.
I do too. Which is why you gotta get rid of them.
If you had control over the whole team, you would not have all these players, including the quarterback, still going to bat for AB after all this. When you don't show up,
they go back
in a playoff, a game that determines whether or not you make the playoffs. That is you've got to cut ties.
If they're going for bat, that means you've done a better job than you could have because they still are a team. They're still a team.
Know.
They haven't given up on the fact that.
Know.
I bet you when Brown's gone, I bet you they're going to start ranting about how he left the team.
I mean, the point is,
you look at all these other guys. Is there anybody on that offense? I mean, maybe Roethlisberger, but is there anybody else on that offense that you look at and says, this guy has been a headache outside of the game?
No. Marquise Pouncey.
Pouncey's a great guy. Come on.
I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. But yeah, you're right.
The defense too. There's nobody on that defense that is nearly as bad.
Well, you don't deserve to be a diva when you're the Steelers defense. Let's be fair.
Here's how I look at it. They're not going to make. Yeah, I'll go that far. They're not going to make the playoffs with or without Brown next season.
I disagree.
If he's not there, they are so financially hamstrung that I don't know what they do. and I don't think they have enough talent as it stands without Brown.
They still have
in their division.
They have enough. That offensive line is arguably the best in the NFL. They still have a great quarterback. Even if I personally think, and this is a different argument for a different day, I personally think Ben wasn't that great this year because he led the league in interceptions.
I mean, yes, he was, I agree.
He was a big reason,
but he's still a top five, top ten quarterback. No matter what, you can't say he's not top ten, and you can even argue for him being top five in the NFL. So they still have him. They still have Juju, who is a number one receiver. Brown was a sixth round pick. They've developed receivers like nobody's.
No,
business.
I mean, yeah. Are you gonna? Mike Wallace walked away because he wasn't getting the money he deserved, so he went to Miami, I believe.
Right. And the
Santonio Holmes wanted to leave. He got the money in the Jets. You know, the Steelers, they almost like breed these wide receivers. Yeah. They develop these wide receivers. Do. It's incredible to see. And a lot of people keep saying right now, Juju's going to be the next good wide receiver for the Steelers. And he's shown that.
He's not even going to be the next. He's already
I mean, yeah. And that's another thing. That's the biggest problem with Brown. Brown, I think, compared to Mike Wallace, Santonio Holmes, were your top wide receiver on your team. They necessarily didn't show it, and they didn't have the same drama shown as Antonio Brown. And that's the difference right now.
Santonio got suspended for marijuana.
I mean, that's different. That's
the drama
different.
Was so bad.
That's
Do you think
different.
The Steelers made a mistake as soon as the season ended in dragging their feet with keeping him around? Like, it was a week or so before the Rooneys came out and gave that statement.
Steelers gave him
They
gave him a chance.
But was that a mistake in hindsight?
Should they have dumped him
and potentially gotten a high first-round draft pick right out of the gates before people knew how bad the situation was?
I mean, it's crazy. People are saying now, experts are saying
second round, third round, maybe.
He's,
right. You're not. It was the topic, which I remember us discussing, was should the Steelers take a first-round draft pick lower than like 10? In return for Antonio Brown. Now you'd be lucky to get a second or third round pick for him.
I don't think
the value has collapsed tremendously, and in hindsight I think they made a mistake, and if they were going to get rid of him, they should have done it immediately.
He is the best in the NFL, and if you can try and repair it, you can. I think right now things are beyond repairable. I think if you put him back
he didn't return Tomlin's call.
Yeah, but again, it's like the Bell situation. You know, looking back now, did they make a mistake for keeping him, you know, for blocking that money out for as long as they did? Yeah. But would you have said that before the season started? Would you have said that whenever at the end of preseason?
No,
would
I don't
have,
think
would
anyone
we said
predicted
that,
he was going
to miss
we
have
the
said that
year.
At the end of week four or after the bye week when everyone thought he was going to come back? Nobody would have said that. You know, so I think at the time, I would have made the same decision and held on to Brown. And now, does it look bad now? Yes. Do I think at the time that they made the wrong decision? No, I don't. But I do think you got to trade him. I think it's beyond repair. You put him back in that locker room. He needs to fix the chemistry in the team. Everybody agrees that the
Absolutely.
Steelers have chemistry issues. I don't think it's the team as a whole. I think it's two guys. One of them's gone. One of them is pretty much shown the door. The other one clearly is now on his way out as well.
Yeah.
I think you get rid of those guys. Again, the team has a lot of weapons on offense. They're still going to be one of the most talented on offense. And their defense, for as bad as it was last year, was still ninth in the NFL in yards. So they don't have a terrible, terrible defense like everybody over-exaggerated that they did last year. Do they need a playmaker? Yeah, they were 27th in turnovers. And blocking that money that you would have given Brown, that you have to eat now. You can't afford to get a playmaker. But again, they also had about $8 million in cap space, and they also have Bell coming off. So you still have enough to get a couple players defense. You still gonna have a mid round first round pick.
I think they'll be fine.
I think looking at the rest of the division, I still think they're the best team in that division.
No.
You think Baltimore's better?
I think, first off, you say Cleveland, really? I don't want to say Cleveland's better, but Cleveland got a lot better this year, and I think they're on the up, and that's the biggest thing that I look at. It's Cincinnati's just kind of sitting there in no man's land. Baltimore's still – they haven't really dropped. I mean, they have a quarterback issue right now as well, which is kind of funny to think about too, because I don't know – I don't trust Lamar Jackson yet. Honestly, I don't trust Lamar Jackson at all, but Joe Flacco clearly wants out. If Lamar Jackson's their starter. So they have a quarterback issue too. I feel like the Steelers are going to be stuck in like a purgatory this year. 9-7, 8-8, something around those lines where they just really are kind of there. And it's not they're not really making a push anywhere, but they're not really falling because they still have a lot of pieces. That's what I look at this.
You floundered away Ben's final years. I think that's the moral of the story.
But here's what's crazy. You could argue it's the personalities of those around him floundered Ben's years. Not as much as the management as you think.
His personality had a lot to do with it, too.
And does that help?
But that's a story for another day.
To cut you guys short, we got some more important football to talk about. American Alliance Football League. Was it League Football? American Alliance League Football, I think. ALF.
AAF.
No one's using the L, and I don't know why.
I think it's just AAF. Is it AALF? Is that what it is?
AAF is Arena Football. American Arena Football.
No, it's Alliance of American Football.
Yeah, CBS was only using AAF. I don't. But there is an L. There's a league in there somewhere, but they're not using it. I don't know.
Who cares?
Regardless, I was wrong about the ratings. They got more than 750,000 viewers, which was more than the NBA game in primetime on ABC that night, but less than the viewers that an America's Got Talent rerun got on NBC. So, do I think this is sustainable viewers-wise? Absolutely not. They're going to move off of CBS to CBS Sports Network, and you told me NFL Network as
NFL
well.
NFL Network is
really
covering a lot of games,
me.
Which I kind of... A lot of people, a lot of critics and stuff saying that this should be the development league of the NFL. And I don't know how I feel like it could be. There's a potential for that, but I don't know.
But I still was not impressed with the product, other than replay, which we'll talk about. But
yes.
Tell me, guys, am I missing the point with the AAF? Am I missing out?
Yes.
And what am I missing out on?
Well, did you see that hit from the first the first play of the game?
I did.
Different. I think it's exciting. It's different from the NFL. The fact that they always have to go for 2 points, the fact that there's no kickoffs, I mean, it's just, I think it's exciting.
I get it. There's an entertainment value, but isn't it like a movie where after you see it 2 or 3 times, it's not going to be as exciting?
I don't know.
You don't have a rooting interest.
This first season is going to be make or break, I feel like, for them. I definitely believe that this could be the big, if they can sustain what they have now, I think they're in good shape,
but if
they drop, I don't see it surviving for more than 5 years.
We looked up some XFL history before the show.
The XFL was completely different.
It was completely different, but they had 86 million
something
viewers
like that,
for week one in the XFL, and by the end of the season, week 11, they were getting horrible ratings, and they were struggling to get 1 million viewers on the broadcast.
If you've never seen the XFL ESPN documentary, I highly recommend it. It's a very good documentary.
You mean 8.6, right? Not 86.
No, 86 million.
Wow.
It was huge.
Wow.
Yeah, in the 2001. But they couldn't sustain it, and the league fizzled out. Will the if the AAF can sustain like 750,000 week to week to week, that's impressive, I think, especially on cable.
I mean...
Speaking of week to week to week, do you guys want to make our picks this week?
Sure, go ahead.
Absolutely.
All right, so, of course, I was right, just saying.
Oh, boy.
So, week one, Salt Lake Stallions at the Birmingham Iron. I'm going to take the Iron.
This is week two, right?
Week two, sorry. Okay. I'm going to take the Iron.
Yeah, I'll go Iron.
I'm going for a Salt Lake upset.
Oh, on the road in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. Birmingham, tough place to play, you know? All those UAB fans down there.
Arizona Hot Shots at Memphis Express. I am going Memphis.
Man, I don't want to go the same thing as you. I'll go Hot Shots just to be different.
Orlando Apollos at San Antonio Commanders.
I'm going Commanders.
I'm going to take the Apollos.
I'll take the Commanders. They're the home team.
Atlanta Legends at the San Diego Fleet. I'm going with the Legends.
Fleet. I like it.
Wow, so you didn't agree with me on one, Dakota.
Subconscious.
He wants that first pick in the next week's
this
game.
This is either going to be really, really good for you or really, really bad for you. Or average. All right, so those are picks.
So last thing on the AAF I want to talk about. A lot of positives about how they're handling replay, which this is something we talked about on the show before me knowing that the AAF had this as a rule, that they have live mics on the replay
yes.
so that you can hear the referees discussing, changing their mind, realizing they're wrong. it is crazy to me, especially in baseball, which I feel like is incredibly easy because they're putting the headsets on, so you know they're already mic'd. You know that's already going to the replay center. Same with the NHL. They put the headset on. I think if you're going to continue to have the replay on the field, you've got to bring that audio into the broadcast.
Real quick, this years ago when the Arena Football League... First off, I just want to say, everybody's like, oh, this is an incredible new thing. Arena Football League did this first real quick. I just want to put that out there because my dad loved the Arena Football League. He watched it every Friday night. And what they did was the guy who called it, the official, and they called the challenge, the main ref, he'd go over to a TV just sitting in the corner. He put on a headset and talked to the viewers. He wouldn't talk to any replay officials.
Wow.
He just talked straight to the viewers.
I remember
he talked to CBS Sports.
Yep.
And he's like, all right, so this is what I'm going to happen. So this is happening like this, so we're going to call it, you know, incomplete pass. I think it's a great idea. I think that should be because we're seeing the scrutiny in referees year after year get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think it's going to increase unless you get the audience on that inside and give the referees the ability to explain themselves more. Even if they're wrong, they still have to have that credibility. They need credibility and they need accountability. And I think an audio gives them that.
If they're going to keep replay as it is now, where the referees on the field are also making the replay decision, then yes, they should be mic'd. But I still think the best option is take it out of the referee's hands.
I agree with that,
too. There should be a
replay
center. Baseball is like that. I mean, the umpires on the field are watching the Jumbotron, but they're not making any sort of decision.
Same with NHL.
So they're along the right track. Now all MLB has to do is get the audio of the operations center, why they're making that decision, because it doesn't make any sense. They put out those vague statements 2 innings later that don't explain why they made that call. You got to mic them.
I agree. 100%. 100%. Speaking of baseball, though, pitchers and catchers reported.
Yesterday.
That's right. Yesterday. I don't know why I said last week.
Pirate City.
Guys, we got to be quick here because we got a couple more topics to go through. So we'll just be real quick on a little Pirates roundup here. Before the end of this song, we'll be done. Melky Cabrera, thoughts, Dakota?
I think he's going to make the major league team, and I like it. I like the Pirates' history of bringing veterans, old veterans, onto the team. Even if it's just a moral boost and teaching the young guys, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I like it. Minor league contracts, you really have nothing to lose if he doesn't make the team.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good idea. I've heard some throws left and right about how people are like, oh, he had steroids issue. I know he had some use of substances issue, but I don't see that issue anymore. I think that he'll maintain what he is now. And again, yeah, like you said, he's just an old piece, older, kind of give them some get the guys on the right track. That's really all.
He's your fourth outfielder until Polanco comes back.
It's very
low risk, medium sized reward for the team, and I do agree with it. I think it's a nice minor league signing to have. And did we talk about Luriano? I can't forget
last week. Yes, we did.
So what about your overall thoughts since the Pirates pitchers and catchers report? Overall thoughts before the song's over on the Pirates pitchers.
The fifth spot in the rotation is very troubling, and I don't think that spot is for Liriano. I think there's like
an 80%
chance he's going to the bullpen. Unless he really shows something surprising in spring training, I think he'll make the team. I don't think he'll make the rotation, and that's where I think you still have a problem. I think the Pirates' fifth spot has been so historically bad over the past however many years that – when they try to get rolling, they try to get win streaks going, and then you hit the back end of that rotation. And I think it's demoralizing for not only that pitcher who's in that role, but also it taxes the bullpen.
Do you guys agree? Because they clearly are leaving it open with the intention of Keller coming up in midseason taking over.
Right.
So do you not agree with that?
No, I don't.
I worry you don't get to that. You're out of contention at that point.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
I think the other – see, I agree with you guys in the sense that I would have kept Nova – because he was last year of his contract.
I don't know.
He had a 4.10 ERA as your fifth starter.
He was eight innings. Sturdy.
Yeah, it's not a good term. Your fifth starter, that is a decent fifth starter. There are a lot of bad fifth starters out there, like Jordan Lyles, who the Pirates are trying to replace Nova with, that I think Nova would have been fine for half a season until Keller came up, and then you can try and ship him out somewhere.
It's amazing how Chad Cole going getting Tommy John affects the bullpen or affects the rotation as much as I didn't think it was going to happen.
Considering they have four very good pitchers up top too.
Yeah, especially when I heard he was getting Tommy John, I was like, well, he'll be out for a year, but they'll fill somebody in. And fifth starter, it's looking interesting.
Staying on the topic of baseball though, as we move on for the Pirates, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, along with about 100 other strong free agents.
I think there's like 500, 100 strong, yeah. There's
not signed still, as pitchers and catchers reported yesterday. So, Dakota, what are your thoughts on this? Where do you think either of them will end up, if they ever end up somewhere? Do you think that they are going to get long-term deals? And also, how big of a crisis this is, and do you think this affects union negotiations in a couple years?
Yes.
I don't know how. What is the remedy to this is what I don't understand. I think the teams.
I think you need to do a cap and a floor.
A majority of the teams are lying when they say it's about financial flexibility because they have the money. They know they have the money. They know they'll remain profitable regardless of the big contracts. Do I think general managers, though, are being smarter about giant contracts that weigh the team down in the future? Absolutely. I don't think many of them are being truthful about how much those really weigh them down. Like an organization like the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Giants, I don't think it affects them long term.
Yeah, but none of them need those organizations also don't need a shortstop, a third baseman, or an outfielder that bad.
Right. So I think the problem is you immediately roll out.
I like
half,
the pause.
If not,
sorry, I just got to acknowledge that fact that there's a pause in this.
I think you roll out half, if not more than half of the league in terms of even competing for a guy like Harper just based off of how big the contracts have gotten. Is that a bad thing? I don't know. I don't know what the remedy is.
I still believe that this is the straw that broke the camel's back. I think that these contracts, Harper and Machado, have really butted heads between the players' union and the owners, and I don't see this working. I don't see this being solved far in advance. I think that there is going to be if they get this done before the next CBA, it's going to be very close.
You got to be thinking, if you're a good player, you got to be thinking, do I want to hit the free agent market now?
Be,
you
might yeah, be trying oh, to go 100%. For
I think I agree with you, Dakota. I think GMs have gotten smarter because they looked at what teams like low budget teams like the Royals have been able to win. They looked at teams that tanked like the Astros and the Cubs to build up those young farm systems, and now they're the two of the top organizations in baseball. Red Sox, very similar. Yankees did the same thing too. Whoever thought the Yankees would try and build up from within when they just have money to buy everything.
Right.
And that's reality of how you win in Major League Baseball. You got to have a farm system. You got to build up. Teams are getting smarter. You know, they have 6 years of cheap contracts. I think this in a couple years in union negotiations, I honestly think we're seeing the beginning of the end of the no cap era. I honestly do. Because I think what's going to come down to is the players are going to want, we don't want this 6 years of working for cheap.
Yeah. I agree.
And we don't want you guys spending, you know, $40 million like the A's did last year. We don't want this. Well, the owners are going to be like, okay, we don't want to be paying you guys $35 million. So I think it's going to come down to the point where they put a cap and a floor in, as well as lower the 6 years when you come up of service time that you're under team control.
Arbitration.
And that's also, with those are two huge things, there's going to be a strike. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be – it's a strike or a lockout. There's going to be one of those two. There's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be one of those two.
I think if you're the players' union, a salary cap is awful.
It is, but you have to give up. I mean, you
– Right. And but
the
deal, the last one
was so bad. The last deal that they signed is so bad that this is what it's come to. You have to do it now.
I worry that the league does not fight hard enough for a salary cap as what they want as a concession from
the luxury tax has done a good job of limiting spending in terms of some of the large markets,
really,
but it hasn't changed the large market and small market. It hasn't.
There's
a
huge divide.
I'm not going to Chicken Little this and say the sky is falling, but I honestly worry about the status of baseball and this league in the next couple of years.
I don't think it's ever going to drop. It was the second highest revenue league in the world.
But having a lockout kills leagues. Ask the NHL that. If Sidney Crosby didn't come in, stuff like
the
that.
The NBA and the NFL are doing
fine. The NBA was on an up and up when they locked out, though. That was the biggest thing. The question is, is the MLB on the up and up? Same with the NFL.
I'd say, I mean, they're the second highest revenue league in the world last year, so I don't think we can say they're that far down.
I know people act like
baseball is getting boring and less young people are watching, but again, the money doesn't lie. Right. They were second in revenue.
And we have a skewed reality here because we're seeing attendance plummet at PNC
Park.
That's
true.
And it's hard to look league-wide when we're
Look at the teams like the Dodgers that signed a billion-dollar TV deal for to play on a channel that only half the TVs in the city get. Yep. You know, they're signing these massive TV contracts.
I'm not any
of these four major leagues. I would be shocked if any of them plummeted.
No, yeah, plummet. I don't mean plummet as in like, oh, they're done.
Do I think NBA and the NHL will eventually pass them? The NHL, I don't think will ever pass the MLB, and I will stand by that. I don't think the NHL will ever get close to the other three.
Yeah, I agree.
The NBA, I could see it, but the NBA has a very similar problem in the sense that it is not very competitive from top bottom down. So I don't know if it will ever. The NBA, the NBA's problems are very similar to the MLB. It's tough for me to see it, but they do a better job of marketing than the MLB does in terms of their players. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with those two leagues.
Let's talk about some of these proposed rule changes. Universal DH, a pitch clock, and a three-batter minimum for pitchers.
No to.
I hate all three of them.
I hate all three, but I think the pitch clock is the lesser of the evils.
I am fine with a pitch clock. The game's too long.
Have you ever sat there and watched an inning where Antonio Bastardo pitches? It's a nightmare to watch.
The game's too long.
I remember I watched a game they played Colorado.
And I love baseball. It's too long.
Here's the problem. They institute that rule. No umpire will enforce it. It's the same thing that happened with the foot in the batter's box rule.
True.
They enforced it for spring training on day one of the opening season. No umpire enforced that. That would significantly speed up the game if you did not allow the batter to leave the box and take three practice swings in between every pitch.
Do they leave the batter's – or do they just keep one foot in?
To keep a foot in the batter's
box.
I think they usually keep one foot in the majority, but that is not.
If you foul a pitch off or you get hit or you if ball comes inside, you can leave the box.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that a single umpire has ever enforced that rule.
I mean, yeah, no. There's no umpire that's called them out and said, hey, you can't do that. But right. I think the league as a whole, I think they kind of say, all right, we're not going to take 20 seconds to practice swings. That's kind of what I'm saying. And that's what I think would be the thing with the pitchers. I think guys like Antonio Bastardo are going to be like, even though I don't think he pitches anymore, but still, guys like that were like, okay, I'll speed it up a little bit. And the rest of them will say, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
I don't think we're talking about the one we should be talking about. What about the universal DH?
Now, Dakota, the DH.
You know that I've made my thoughts on this very, very clear. I personally like that the two leagues are different, but there is no reason that you should have the DH in both. No reason.
There's no reason you should have the DH in either, to be clear.
It takes away a lot of strategy. It takes away a lot of the fun.
It fundamentally changes the entire game and how you approach pitchers. And I don't want to see that. And I think this three-batter minimum for pitchers could be even –
Can you explain that to me?
If you bring someone out of the bullpen, they have to face at least three guys.
So you can't just pitch to one player and then change them out.
That is a huge change.
Like Joe Maddon, that – throws out their entire strategy.
Anything but Joe Maddon.
Joe. Now you're an innovator, though. Now that you said that,
right.
I am all for this
you're
rule.
Right.
I am all for this.
He is the most guilty of this for sure.
Yes, 100%.
No, I agree. To be honest, it is really long. Those pitching changes.
It is so long.
And when you use three pitchers in an inning, like we've seen the Cubs do specifically. It drags out, and all of a sudden you have a 30-minute inning, and you don't want that. You really don't. Baseball is getting longer, and you need to learn to trim it down. And reality is you're not going to trim down commercial breaks and stuff like that because that's where all your money is.
Right.
Exactly.
So reality is you have to trim down the game those ways. I think that's a price that you may be willing to take. Most teams don't even use lefty-righter matchups anymore.
Right.
That's kind of been a dying thing the past couple of years. When sabermetrics has gotten improved and everything, they've realized that lefty-righter, while it's a difference, is not as significant as people make it. So a lot of teams don't even leave a reliever in for three batters.
But I just think that that one, you always get those innings where it's like second, third, no outs. They bring in a guy, he gets that guy out, and then they take him
out.
Those are the ones that
here's
like,
why I
issues.
Don't like it. You have a guy, you go in the bottom of the ninth. You think it's starting out okay. It turns ugly. You have to bring in your closer. They tie the game. They've only faced two batters.
Yeah. I was
now
thinking
that
too, actually.
Now that closer has to go and bat, and you raise the risk of that closer getting injured in a situation where they
but
should never be
I
at
think,
the plate.
But it's per inning, though.
It's
so I think
inning.
That'll
is
be different.
Inning?
I think it's
so
three batters per inning.
The next one.
And if you don't get – you don't. It's not three batters per pitcher. I think it's three batters per inning. So I think if you get out of the inning before three batters, it's not going to count. But – yeah, I get what you're saying, though. No, there is more
the calculation, especially
is more
late in the games.
Of an adjustment.
I would rather them see – I think they right now get three mound visits before extras start. Take that up to four and say that is – you have to start counting mound visits as pitching replacements, which they don't currently do. Maybe you do something like that.
Well, we got to be real quick on this because we are running out of time. Dakota, I know you have somewhere to be. Again, I apologize.
We got a couple more minutes.
So we're going to talk quick about the Penguins real quick. Oh, what happened with Malkin yesterday, swinging his stick.
Unbelievable.
So how long does he get suspended for? How long would you suspend
him
for?
They already gave him a game.
Yeah, he got a game suspended.
He got a game?
I didn't hear that. So
yeah,
good thing
that just came out a couple hours ago. I get it. I agree. He should definitely have been suspended. I didn't like that game. Steelers. Penguins. Murray stopped 52 shots, though, so he played very well. There was one situation where the Flyers should have had a goal early in the game. They didn't because the referee blew the whistle, even though Murray had no control of the puck at all, and it went right to a Flyer player, and he put it in an empty net. You know, these things happen, I think. I don't think they've necessarily leaned towards the Penguins more often, but this is a win that I think the Penguins really needed. They were 5 in a row, I believe, they lost. They struggled to score. This was definitely a big game for them. And I still believe that they're fine coming into playoffs, but it's getting to crunch time. You got to start winning a couple games.
Yeah, you got to start stringing wins together. Yeah. This, like, lose four and then win two and just so you stay in it. I mean, it's sad that they're still, like, top of the division based on how they've been playing, but
it's crazy, yeah, honestly.
Same thing we always say. Get to the playoffs and we'll go from there.
Keep going.
I don't have much more to say.
Yeah,
I mean, one thing that I stumbled across today, and literally stumbled across it, there is a outdoor game with the Flyers on the 23rd of this month.
Yes.
I knew nothing about
it. Really? Yeah. Stadium series?
Yeah. Have they become completely irrelevant?
Well, I'm glad I saw that in the docs, and I was like, yes, they have. I am a big proponent that they should have only – that the two things that they should have done, if they wanted to add more – outdoor games like they clearly have, they should have kept them all on New Year's. Turn the Winter Classic into four or five games. Dominate that holiday.
I think one game dominates more than a couple games, so that's the thing. Everybody's condensed into that one game. I don't think people are going to watch like three outdoor games.
No, if you put them on all the same day.
I don't
all
think
the
so.
Same day
compared to
different
football,
times.
I don't think so.
People, the NBA does it, the MLB does it, the NFL do it. They all have their own holiday.
I like that idea.
The NHL doesn't. Problem is,
it's a logistics issue.
The biggest issue is that college football has games on
New
Year's.
That's
exactly
what I was thinking.
That you're going up against college football, and that's so maybe you find a different holiday. But I think a Winter Classic in which you have three, four games outside on the same day is how you do it, or you just go back to one game on New Year's. I don't like the stadium series. It's dumb. It is boring. I don't watch it. I don't care about it. And the NHL is trying to attract fans like me, the average ones.
Yeah.
Because that with these games, because the diehards are going to watch it.
Right.
Okay. They're going to watch it regardless because it's hockey and it's different than regular typical hockey. I'm not going to watch it because to me, it's dumb when it's different days. I don't like it. Make it special. It's not special.
Yes.
It needs to be special by having
it
on one day.
The Winter Classic is a special thing.
Gone down when they added these other games.
Absolutely.
I think how many stadium series games are there? I feel like they should just drop it to two. I think that they should do one stadium or one Winter Classic and then do a special stadium series at some point in the year. You can change it up as much as you want just to kind of, you know, give it a little bit of a kick right at the end of the regular season. Give it a little spice to the end of the season. I loved the one stadium series game. It was LA and Anaheim, and they played, I believe it was in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And to play outdoors in LA, that was cool. Honestly, it was something different. It wasn't the Winter Classic. It was a stadium series. If you have unique things like that, I think you do it once in a while, it's good. But here's the thing. I love the Penguins, But them playing against the Flyers in some whatever city they're, I'm guessing Philly,
Philadelphia,
wherever outside, it doesn't have the same charm.
What about when they played in Notre Dame? They played a Stadium Series game in Notre Dame this year. Was that the Winter Classic? No,
that was
no.
the Winter Classic.
What
was
the Winter Classic?
Chicago
what is
and
the
Boston.
What is the point of that? Why would you play there? Why would
I
you?
Disagree. That's cool.
No. I disagree.
Like, I
no.
think this stupid thing where they've done 2 years with the Penguins hosting a Stadium Series against the Flyers and then the Flyers hosting one against the Penguins. They should have had one Winter Classic at Beaver Stadium in the middle of the state and make it a special event. Like,
yeah,
I
agree.
Like
that they don't market it. I don't.
Yeah,
well, I don't
Beaver
Stadium marketing.
is in the middle of those two cities. Notre Dame's not in the middle of Boston.
But Notre
Chicago.
Dame still has that history, though. That's
yeah,
the thing.
I think I like
and you
it.
Can't necessarily like. I mean, you could have put St. Louis there. I guess that would have been
good.
It was
a cash grab that I don't care about.
But it's still. That's what the Winter Classic is, though.
I agree. Yeah.
That's what the Stadium Series is, and we're all
that's
talking
definitely
crap.
What the Stadium Series
we're all
series
talking
is.
Crap on it right now.
And that's
now,
why
so.
I think they should reduce it to just one because you lose that charm. And I think
so.
That,
it's a cash grab that you don't care about.
No, I
like,
still
like
care
I
about
just said
it.
Early.
I still said I care about it. I think you should just not have as many. You can't. Have too many in the market. I don't know what that
one. It, they're flooding the market
that's
with outdoor
I couldn't
games.
Think of the word. Yeah.
And there should be one on New Year's Day. That's the Winter Classic.
I think there should be
if
two.
If you want to have multiple.
Speaking
on
though
that
of,
day, okay.
of teams that
okay.
have played in outdoor games in the past, the Robert
segue.
Morris Men's Hockey. Yikes. As we get into our cool, as we get into our keep it. What do we usually call this?
I don't know.
RMU update.
RMU's
that's very
tragic tales of.
So RMU update. We'll end the show with this. We have to postpone the Survivor draft again.
That's all right. The premiere's next Wednesday. Yep. We'll be all right.
Women's
as long as you're here next Tuesday. On the
men's
time,
hockey.
You know.
They've lost 5 in a row. They have lost 9 out of 10 since the new year started.
Brutal.
So, guys, do you think that this team can make a run in the playoffs like last year?
Yes. I still think they can. Will they? No. They can because I hate the AHA playoffs because once you get past those first two rounds – it's all up for grabs because no
so
team
dumb.
In this conference
so
is undefeated.
Dumb.
I would like to spell out, regardless of my question, the playoffs are still a little bit away. So
yeah. We'll but out. Again, I think this, like I said before, a really big weekend for Robert Morris. They play last place Holy Cross in Holy Cross. They have to at least split, and I would say they need to split, and they should take both.
Dakota.
No, I don't. I don't. This is a lost year, in my opinion. And I don't. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a young team. I don't think you can
is
go
it,
to the championship.
Is it a
every
lost
year
if it's a young team?
No, no. Bad choice of words. It's just a. It's a year where you don't compete
it's a down,
for the championship.
It's a rebuilding year,
and that's okay. Yeah,
it's a rebuilding year, or as they call it in the Pirates, retooling year.
Speaking of tool,
men's basketball.
Andy
look at
tool.
That. I was gonna go to women's next, but we'll go to men's.
I mean, are you talking women's hockey or?
I was going to women's basketball. Okay. Next, we'll men's basketball, they've lost 3 of their last 4, still tied for first, though, with St. Francis at 8-4.
Which is amazing because St. Francis has won 5 games in a row.
To be fair, they started off really bad, St. Francis, though. That's the biggest thing.
Now,
the big
worse
thing is,
for men's basketball.
And Coach Toll, I've covered the team, and Coach Toll, in one of his interview questions, said, and whenever they were about a couple games up, said, every team in the NEC, even when they were 2 games up, is just as good as everyone else.
Yes.
I think what we've seen from RMU falling off. And from St. Francis picking up, that is 100% true.
I watched
that all these teams are just as good.
I watched it on Saturday. A 4-win Central Connecticut team shot 50% from the field. They were clearly the better team there. Robert Morris, I think they did okay. They didn't do great. But even then, a lot of – when you play a team that's 4-8 or whatever, 4-7 on the conference year, you're supposed to – if you play okay – 9 times out of 10, you're going to either win or make it close and either have like a 3-point game or something like that. Central Connecticut played very well, and they clearly showed that their record doesn't necessarily show because there's a lot of parity in the league.
Moving on to the other basketball team. Women's basketball, though, 11-0, the best start in program. Is it the conference history, too, or is it just program history?
I believe it's the conference. I think St. Francis went 10-0 one year, and I think that's it. I think it's conference. Yeah.
So,
a
record-setting year for the women's basketball, guys. How convinced are you that they're going to win it, both the regular season and the tourney this year?
I was at this game Saturday again. It was crazy the fact that they won. They shouldn't have won that game. Bryant was literally throwing up the dumbest shots, and they were going in. I watched this one girl. Ball hits her hand with 5 seconds on the shot clock. She has to go back towards half court and grab it. Throw it at the basket. She didn't shoot it. She, like, threw it. It bounces off the backboard, goes in. They had, like, 3 or 4 of those. RMU still dominated it for the most part and still won,
won
by 3
60.
Points. Yeah, they only won by 3 points.
In the other game on yesterday, they won 60-40
Yeah,
after
I mean,
struggling in the first quarter.
Yeah, It's insane. I mean, they're the best team in this conference, and I don't
they'll easily win the regular season.
I still
think
they're going to
do. They finish undefeated in the regular season? They have 5 games left.
Yes.
No.
I
no,
say
they
yes.
have 2 against St. Francis.
I say yes, and I worry about the playoffs. They just seem to have a bit of a problem in the championship a little bit, but they're so strong this year. I think we know they can take anyone in
yes,
the conference.
Yes, but
you just worry about playoffs.
Sorry to cut you guys off, but we already overpassed our time.
And
we still got a couple more sports to go through. Women's hockey,
yep.
5-game undefeated streak. That includes a 2-2 tie against Penn State
cruising.
This weekend.
Very good.
So, guys, how much has your perception changed, especially from, you know, they had a lot of tough non-conference games.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of tough non-conference games. How much has your perception just changed over the course of the year for them? And has it all? And do you think that those tough non-conference games are a big reason why they're doing so successful right
now?
They
were the definition of wait to the conference before you really make your assumption of them, because they played so many good non-conference games, and they fought in a lot of those games. I think that's the biggest thing to look at. I expect them to get to at least the championship of the CHA, and then, again, it's a coin toss because it's a 1 game. If they can get to that national tournament, they might be able to make some waves, but, I mean, I don't know. It's really – I still think, though, they are one of the top teams in the conference.
I agree. They are absolutely a top team in the conference, and I think, yeah, when you play those tough non-conference games and you're grinding in a way like that where you're not expected to win, you don't expect yourself to win, and you're still fighting hard and staying in those games and skating with those much better teams, then, yeah, that's improving you, absolutely, at the beginning of the season. And I think that it's just worth noting, women's basketball and women's hockey, both very dominant programs in women's sports here at Robert Morris, that similar beginnings to their seasons as well, where they're good teams, so they're playing great teams in the non-conference. Which is surprising. I wonder if we start to see less of that as these better teams worry that they might get upset in those non-conference games. But it's not worth next year, I think, lesson learned. We don't judge too much about these teams' future based off their non-conference play, because once they get to the regular season, they overperform expectations.
Speaking of teams that play tough non-conference games, men's lacrosse blown out yesterday by this past weekend. By number 9, now number 4 in the country, Penn State lost 27-10. So, guys, are you guys taking with this a grain of salt? You still think they're the favorites in the NAC, or is this something that RMU fans should be worried about?
I wouldn't worry too
Don't
much.
Worry
First
about
game
it.
Of the year. Penn State's very good. They beat them last year, but it's still very good. I think they definitely need a couple games to gel together, and that's the biggest issue. And, you know, to get blown out by Penn State isn't good, but it's still, I think they'll be all right.
Not worried.
Speaking, though, moving on to the other lacrosse. I don't know why I said speaking, though. A little force of habit there. Women's lacrosse starting this weekend. 15th season for both lacrosse programs. So, guys, now, if you were to add a sport at Robert Morris, what would you add?
Wow.
I did not expect that.
I think you could figure out my answer. Probably you should have a good guess.
Men's volleyball.
Heck yeah.
Curling. We have the Island Sports Center. They have curling stones down there. There should
be is there a curling in the NCAA?
No.
If not, there should be. An RMU could be the first.
Softball starts this season with the Lancer launch this weekend. They're going with interim head coach Jax Varner. Are you guys surprised that they didn't hire someone?
No, because I understand this is...
You got an athletic department in transition.
Dead last in the conference picked. Only a couple recruits. This is really kind of a changing of the guard year. I don't expect them to be doing too much this year, and I hope for the best. I wish them the best.
Well, if it's a change of the guard, are you surprised they didn't hire a new head coach?
Not yet, because they want to clean the athletic department up first before they hire a softball coach. And this is a team that they were picked last. They didn't win a conference game last year, I don't think, either 1 or 0. They're kind of just letting this team kind of play this year, and then they're going to try and change it.
Last, you guys, we don't really much have to talk about this because I don't know what we would say, but track and field, good luck to you guys. They are...
Works for me.
Yeah, I know a bunch of people in track and field team. Good luck,
guys. They do?
Lily,
they will be...
Sam, Anya, good luck.
They will be playing in the NEC... Or I don't know why I said playing. They will be competing in the NEC championships this weekend. So good luck to those teams. And that is all we have. So we went a little bit over what we... estimated we go to. So Dakota, final thoughts.
I'm excited for the Survivor draft next week.
It's good because I didn't do scouting reports. Yes, I was going to do reports. I'm going to have a full notebook of scouting reports of all these. I'm going to look at these guys' Facebook pages. We're going to get real creepy with it.
I'm going to act like my sister when she picks NCAA March Madness brackets. Just pick the names that I like and whoever they look like and probably win it.
Well, guys, that's all the time that we have had. Thank you all for joining us again. We will see you next week. We will finally get to do the Survivor poll that we've been trying to do for the past 2 weeks. I will rebound in the quiz show, clearly, because this week was a fluke, and it should be an asterisk next to it.
Oh, get out of here. No.
We'll see you all next week.